As we all settle back in, I'm going to invite you to sign the friendship pads that are located at the right end of all the pews. Put your name in there, pass it down to your left, pass it back, and take a note who you're worshiping with today, and you can greet them again by name following the service. So, just to again welcome you all, I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan. I'm pastor here at the Presbyterian Church and be leading worship here. John Robbins is our liturgist this morning. Heather listed to do the, especially for children, but she's not feeling 100%, so I'm going to jump in this week, but it's good for the, especially for children. Lynn Meyer is playing our organ for us this morning. We have our choir today, but Earl Linhart is on vacation, but the spirit of Earl will be standing here, right? There you go. We also have Sherry Monteith making an announcement about the Step Forward Together program coming up. If you're visiting with us in the sanctuary, I'd like invite you to take one of the cards in the pew rack ahead of you and fill it out and put it in the offering plates. If you're worshiping with us on our live stream, I invite you to leave a message on our Facebook page and let us know you were here. And if you have any questions about or want to know more about this congregation, you can call the church office at 614-882-3155. We have several announcements this morning. First of all, the flowers are given by Dorothy Driscoll and Gary Hinsman in honor of their first wedding anniversary, which was on May 4th. And we want to thank everybody who helped with the church work day yesterday. We got a lot done, got it done in good shape. A lot of mulch around, some other odd outdoor jobs, and our outdoors looking really good now. Reminder that the plastic bag collection boxes are now here. They're in the entryway of the south entrance of the church over by the elevator. You can bring your plastic bags and other forms of plastic film and put them in there, and this of course will go to building a bench for our new garden area out there. The Habitat for Humanity is having a fundraiser this week at City Barbecue, and 20% of what you purchase there will go to Habitat for Humanity. This will be on Thursday, May 11th, and you can have takeout, or you can have it delivered, you can do it in person, any of those ways, and it'll all count. Just mention Westerville Habitat Partnership. On Friday evening, the Dine Out group will gather at the Cap City Diner in Gahanna. That's at 7 p.m. And just a note, it is not a half hour earlier than usual, it's a half hour later than usual. So next month, don't come at 7:30 for their name. But you're welcome to come to the Cap City Diner this Thursday. There is a limited number of people, but I've been told there are lots of spots left. So if you thought you were too late, you're not. You can talk to Jim Hines or call Bob Place if you're interested. Let's see here. I think I have a couple. One more. The Farmers Market in Westerville begins in a couple of Saturdays from now. Last summer, we were part of the Farmers Market with a booth right outside our side door here, aimed at the children of the church, of the community, and who were being dragged along with their parents. We're so popular. Last year they asked us to come back, and so we're going to come back. We would love to have a lot more volunteers, so if you can give us a couple of hours on a Saturday morning to help out and just watch over the whole circus, really, it's wonderful. There's a sign-up sheet in the sign-up book out there. If you have questions, you can talk to Heather or myself. And now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude. Amen.
Let's call one another to worship. People of God, proclaim the good news. The Lord is coming. Our God will rule with power. Call out with a loud voice. Speak out and do not be afraid. Like a shepherd, God will care for us. Like a good shepherd, God will lift up the lambs. Let us worship the Lord our God. Let's join together in the prayer of adoration. O creating God, you have raised Jesus from death. We come in joy to celebrate the good news of life. O living Christ, you walk among us as our risen Lord. We thank you for your word of comfort and hope. O Spirit of life, you move among us with your power. We experience your presence this morning in life.
God, grace and glory,
set us free from our sin and empty out the tombs of our despair.
Enlighten us with the proclamation
that Jesus Christ is risen indeed. Amen. Testament of the Book of Psalms, of the 31st Psalm, verses 19 to 24. Listen to David pouring out his heart to the Lord. Oh, how abundant is your goodness that you have laid up for those who fear you and accomplished for those who take refuge in you in the sight of everyone. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from human plots. You hide them safe under your shelter from contentious tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was beset as a city under siege. I had said in my alarm, I am driven far from your sight. But you heard my supplications when I cried out to you for help. Love the Lord, all of you, his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful. He abundantly repays the one who acts haughtily. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all of you who wait for the Lord. Thanks. The word of the Lord.
As I said, our second lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, beginning at the 21st verse. Hear now the word of God. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, throwing him into convulsions and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Let us pray. O Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. So where do I start with this passage? Do I start with the man who is healed? Do I start with the concept of unclean spirits? Or do I start with Jesus' astounding teaching ability? All three of these are deserving of analysis, but what stands out for me in this passage is the reaction of the onlookers in this story. Mark tells us that after witnessing what Jesus had just did, Mark tells us that they were amazed. That might be the best place to start on this passage. They were amazed. I've been mulling in my mind these words all week. They were amazed. They had just witnessed Jesus' teachings and his miracle all in one day at the synagogue, and they were amazed. And it got me thinking, are we still amazed today? Maybe we should be. As I look around our church and our denomination, I see and hear of some amazing things going on, things that should continue to amaze us. Consider this, for example, the story of Felipe Martinez. He is a young man who was born in Mexico to a fourth generation Presbyterian family there. He decided to answer God's call to the ordained ministry, and he attended McCormick Seminary in Chicago. From there, he received his first call to St. Anne's Presbyterian Church. Now, if you're like me, you might think that St. Anne's Presbyterian Church is somewhere down in Mexico, or perhaps on the west side of Chicago. But it is not in Mexico. And it is not in Chicago. It's not even in the suburbs of Chicago. In fact, St. Anne's is not the name of the church, but the name of a small rural town in central Illinois. And the church is not populated with Mexican immigrants, but with white farmers. And so here is a bilingual, urban, Mexican-born Presbyterian pastor serving in an all-white rural farm church in Illinois. I heard Philippe speak a few years ago, and he said, even he is amazed where God leads. And then there is Highlands Presbyterian Church in Jacksonville, Florida. This church helped to establish Family Promise, which provides assistance to families who have children but have no home. The program has helped 85% of the participating families find long-term housing. Through this ministry, Highlands Church and its partner organizations are helping to solve the problem of homelessness one family at a time. And I just find it interesting that churches are coming up with the most creative ministries. In my work within our presbytery, I come in contact with some dynamic ministries that churches are doing. One such ministry is so simple, one wonders why it hasn't happened earlier. One of our churches in our presbytery wanted to expand their relationship with local food pantry, and so they approached them about hosting a food drive. Pantry personnel said, well, thanks, that would be great, but if you really want to help us, you could collect hygiene products, you know, soap, detergent, toothpaste, deodorant, feminine products, and the like. So the church did that. They held a drive in the church for those sorts of products, and they were able to stock up their local food pantry with all these very needed items. That sounds simple enough, doesn't it? The story doesn't end there. This is the amazing part. Other food pantries started calling them and saying, could you do the same thing for us? And so they did. But they did something else as well. They started to get other churches involved. So now that there is a network of churches that are now supplying food pantries with these needed food or needed hygiene items. Our own church is not without its own amazing stories. Down in our lower level, nobody gets down there these days, but if you go down there, we have a room that we call the mission room, and it is filled with wheelchairs, crutches, walkers, and other mobility equipment. That room is the supply closet for our mobility assistance program. Each week, sometimes more than once each week, we loan out those walkers and crutches and rollators and wheelchairs to people who need them. We loan them out, and some of them even get returned. But we don't care, because we keep getting more. Sometimes these loans are temporary, some they're permanent, but we never seem to run out. In fact, more comes in than we can possibly store or give out. So now we have a partner church, a Methodist church in Pickerington, and we give them our excess for their same ministry down there. And still we get more. And it's one of the most exciting ministries of our church, and no one knows about it. But that's not the only one. Just this morning, I was handed a copy of an email that came to those who work with our Habitat Partnership. The Habitat Partnership builds houses for people in the Delaware community. When a family moves into a house, into their finished house, Habitat presents them with a gift basket of food and a quilt. Now the food comes from Warm. Any guesses on where the quilt comes from? That's right. It comes from our own Fabrics of Faith ministry in our church. Another ministry, amazing, doing amazing work, and yet it happens so quietly here. Now, not all the amazing things in the Presbyterian world are going on in the churches. Some are happening in Presbyterian church camps. One such camp with an amazing ministry is Camp Chanko. Camp Chanko serves children of incarcerated parents, giving them a chance to experience life beyond the stresses of their home situations. The camp incorporates Bible study, arts, craft, nature studies, along with conflict resolution and self-esteem classes. The children who go to that camp leave the program in a much better place than when they arrived, and they come to be an inspiration to others when they return to their world. There are amazing stories out there. But then maybe the most amazing story I found involved a man named Max and a church called Light of Hope Presbyterian Church. Now, Max was a homeless man who frequented the neighborhood of Light of Hope Church. And on a particular Sunday in August, Max decided to visit the Light of Hope Church. Light of Hope's pastor, Edwin Gonzalez-Gertz, said Max was known in the community. He would stand in lines getting boxes of food for people he didn't even know. Yet he struggled with mental illness, and the community knew about that as well. The pastor said that Max was tired of the church's indifference to him, and we were the last one he was going to visit. What happened next? Welcome, acceptance, and a cleansing baptism wouldn't have happened without a layer of miracles that began more than 3 years earlier and continued to that very day and beyond. You see, Light of Hope Presbyterian Church began as three congregations located within 6 miles of each other. All three churches suffered from the effects of white flight out of their city, and we're left in older neighborhoods and dwindling memberships. A few years ago, the leaders from these three congregations put together a vision team to determine their collective future. Early in the process, a consultant asked the vision team, "What is the wildest, craziest thing you could do?" Think about that for a moment. What is the wildest and craziest thing that they could do? Well, one of the team members had an answer. To best serve our neighborhood, she said, we should sell all our properties and start from scratch. Nearly 3 years later, that was the option that the churches chose. They hired their first pastor and began worshiping as a congregation, and they called themselves Light of Hope Presbyterian Church. In the months that followed, they began learning to just get along. And while they had intended to serve their city neighborhood, their energies were spent in learning how to combine their congregations into one. And then came the Sunday morning that Max arrived. Before Max walked through the church's doors that Sunday morning, Sunday school classes were meeting. And the one class talked about how their personal stories of faith were connected to the larger story of Scripture, which they were called to share. They also talked about God's promise of relationship to help heal brokenness. As fate, or God would have it, Max walked into that Bible study that day. And the class now had a test of their own faith to deal with. The group found Max easy to talk to, and while they knew of his mental health issues, they welcomed him. And as the members of the study said later, the Holy Spirit took hold and something really big happened. As the members of the study accepted him, Max's felt his heart opening up. After finding only indifference at other churches he had visited, he sensed something different was happening here. Letting go of the rejection that he felt from other church experiences, Max blurted out, "I want to accept Jesus. Aren't I supposed to get baptized now?" Max's baptism came. And Max's baptism helped ground light of hope, bringing them back to their original vision of outward-focused ministry. As one member put it, we are learning not to be afraid of change so that God's purposes can be fulfilled. Their ministry of outreach to the community continues to this day. So you see, God is still providing miracles. And I hope we are still amazed. Amen.
Let's join together in declaring our faith. Right, you find it in the bulletin. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith, sets us free to accept ourselves and to love God and neighbor, and binds us together with all believers in the body of Christ, the Church. The same Spirit who inspired the prophets and the apostles, ruler of faith, and engages us through the word proclaimed, heals us from the bread of life, and help us salvation, and calls women and men to all the ministries of the church. Amen.
Together in prayer, And as we do, we lift up those who are in particular need of prayer. O Lord, hear our prayers. Great and gracious God, in galaxies beyond our imagining, infinities beyond what we are only beginning to understand, your word is still creating, calling us to life made new. Despite the turmoil of human conflicts and compulsions, your word is still at work in this world. We still see the blooms of the field unfold, the leaves bud out, the waves lap upon your shore. Your creatures' breath and heartbeats go on through the days and nights given to us. For the gift of life amid all that is good and beautiful in this world, we give you thanks and praise. And for the many blessings that you bestow upon us, we are grateful. For the gifts of love and family and friendships, for satisfactions where effort and creativity have been fruitful, for all the ways that your grace has made it possible for us to persevere, to experience some peace in the midst of uncertainty, to find strength in the face of our limitations, to recognize your hand at work where things have turned out better than what we could have imagined or devised on our own. For this we are thankful. In our own lives, in our relationships, and in the life of the world, we are painfully aware of the broken parts, of the injustices, of the crying needs, in all those places where we can choose to do and make a difference. Guide us, dear Lord, in those places where we must wait and wonder, and grant us patience, hope, and courage. And in places where we cannot find our way alone, enter in and guide us. Draw us together to move as you will. We remember before you this morning those of this fellowship and beyond for whom we have lifted up our prayers this morning. We remember those who are lonely, those who are ill, those who are struggling in despair, those who are grieving loss, those who are hurting, those who are hungry and homeless, facing special challenges in the week ahead. We ask your guidance for these and all of us. We pray for all near and far who live in fear. We ask that courage might be given to them. And give us all wisdom and new vision as we ask for those who lead and decide on where our future might lie, reminding us that our future is in your hands. Hear us as we pray, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to invite Cherry Monteith to come up to say a few words about our Step Forward program.
Good morning. Do you remember where you were on March 13th, 2020? Yes, everybody does. It's one of those. That's the day the pandemic was declared a national emergency, and it changed our lives forever, and it changed the life of this church. Thankfully, or hopefully, the worst of the pandemic is behind us, or appears to be behind us. So the question before us is where we go from here. Hoping to inform our response to that question, the Step Ahead Task Force has been meeting with session committees, the standing committees, and with deacons to find out exactly what they did differently to respond to the pandemic. And some of those changes were great, things like our streaming services and so forth. Other things are things that got us through. Now what we want to hear from each of you is what you have to say about the things that you think we should keep and changes that we should keep. We want to hear what each of you has to say about those questions. Over the summer, we will be compiling the input from everybody and preparing a report of recommendations. We're not the ones that will decide on any specific changes. We're just making recommendations. To session, and we'll do that in the fall. We want everybody's input. So toward that end, we have two events coming up, or one event in two parts, however you want to think about it. On Sunday, June 11th, we'll have the Step Forward Together event right after church. It's a Sunday. And we'll have a combined, a hybrid potluck served meal. So the main course will be provided by the church, and everybody brings a side dish to share, and then we'll break into small groups and talk amongst ourselves. And that whole event will take about 2 hours. Then on June 15th, which is a Thursday, we're having a remote event for those folks who feel more comfortable working in that way still. But we didn't want them to miss out on a meal. So if you sign up for the remote event, a pizza will be delivered to your house. It's a large pizza from Donato's. You have your choice of cheese, pepperoni, sausage, or the works. You have to sign up for that by June 5th. That's the arrangement we have with Donato's. And we'll need your address, of course. But you definitely have to sign up by the 5th. If you decide later you want to participate in the remote event, you can still do that, but you're not getting a pizza. So that's how we're trying to reach out to everybody. Sign-up sheets are in the white book in the gathering area. Make sure you sign the right one. And that's the scoop. We want to know what you have to think about it. It's an opportunity to look at who we want to be going forward, as well as just how we responded to the pandemic. So if you have any questions, the Step Ahead Task Force members are Jen Henson, who I'm saying first because I left her out entirely last time, Elizabeth Mose, Mary Lee Jones, Peg Duffy, Gary Hinsman, and Dorothy Driscoll, and me. So thanks, everybody, and we hope to see you there.
Thank you. And now let us share in what God has given to us in the for taking up the offering. Pray. Lord God, we thank you for the gifts that you have given to us, and as we return a portion of those gifts, may you use them to the work of your kingdom near and far. And now let us pray together the prayer your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is Christ who invites us to this table, invites all of us to this table. And Christ is the host of us at this table. Come, all of you who are weary and have many burdens, and find your rest here. Please join me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. O God of resurrection and new life, pour your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and juice. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Reveal yourself in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth, burning with justice, peace, and love, with your holy ones of all times and all places, with all the earth and all its creatures, with the sun and the moon and the stars. We praise you, O God, blessed Holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Meal is a remembrance of Jesus' Last Supper. And there he met with his disciples in the upper room, and after having given thanks, he took the bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so we partake of the bread as Christ commands, holding until all are served, partaking as one in the body of Christ. Bread of life. In the same way, our Lord took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood shed for you. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." And so, obeying the commands of Christ, we partake of the cup, partaken when we are served, as a reminder that Christ lived and died and rose again for each and every one of us. Let us pray. O Lord God, you have invited us to this table and fed us with yourself. May we now, nourished in faith, go into the world proclaiming the good news of your love to all whom we meet. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Now, if you'll stand and join me in our closing hymn. God, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be yours this day and every day. Amen.